Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love you have for us. We thank you that you have given us not just permission to pray, but you also given us words to pray. And Lord, we know that you hear us no matter how eloquent or how rough our prayers are, because you have promised to hear us. But as we explore this prayer that you've given us, the Lord's Prayer, this foundational prayer for life and for mission, we pray that your Holy Spirit be with us, that your Holy Spirit helps us to understand more about you and what it means to be your disciples living in this world at this time. Open up our hearts and minds to hear from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, the season of prayer for the LCANZ is a focus of Lord, renew your church. This prayer that we believe that God wants to renew his church through us, but we need God's help constantly. And so today we're looking at this foundational prayer, this prayer that's often called the Lord's Prayer. And the reading we had was from Luke chapter 1, verses through to verse 4. And just a reminder of what we heard. When Jesus finished praying, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "Pray, when you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Now, this verse that the Lord's Prayer appears twice in the Bible. The second is in Matthew. And there's a couple of additions, and there's also another starting point which is different. In Luke, he says, "Say these words." In Matthew, he says, "Pray this way." In Matthew, he also says, he adds the words, "Your will be done as it is in heaven, on earth as it is in heaven, but deliver us from evil." And instead of calling sin, sin, he calls them debts in Matthew. And this is where we get the Lord's Prayer that we pray frequently in church, a prayer that Jesus has given us to pray. But what's your view of the Lord's Prayer? How do you approach the Lord's Prayer? I've had people who have been part of congregations, when we have left out the Lord's Prayer, either by accident or on purpose in a worship order, have complained that God's not going to listen to us because we didn't pray this prayer. I've had people who have been worried because they treat the Lord's Prayer as some sort of magic potion. And I've had people who have said, "Why do we have to say it? We should just pray from our heart." But God gives us this prayer. It's a gift for us. And so if we think about what the purpose is, if we just think from an individual perspective, we may think, why do I have to say it every week? What's it about? But how about if we think of it something differently? How about we think that this prayer is given to Jesus, has given by Jesus to his disciples, which he's going to send out on mission, and he's given it to the church who are supposed to be on mission. That means he's given it to each one of us, me and you, to help us in relying on God in mission. So how does it change things for you if you view the Lord's Prayer as a prayer to help us and to help you live as God's active disciples in the world, with a life of loving God, loving others, and making disciples? If we see this prayer as a foundational prayer for mission, a prayer where we come before God and we don't just say the words, but we actually pray the words. And what I mean by that is we don't just let the words just flow from our tongue, but we actually go let the words sink deep in our soul. Sometimes in church we seem to rush through the Lord's Prayer, and people have made comment to me about that. And so we've tried to slow people down by putting more slides up and try to tell the people doing the PowerPoint, don't rush through the slides. But some people have got a habit of doing that, of rushing through. And maybe that's about something else. But how about if we see this prayer that Jesus has given us as a very significant prayer that God calls us to use, that invites us to use to help us in this journey of faith, to be his disciples with a focus of living a loving God, loving others, and making disciples of all nations. I think it will change the way we perceive this prayer. Now, it's interesting when you look at the story of Jesus, one of the things you do notice quite frequently, and it can be puzzling a little bit, but for some who know that Jesus is God, why did he do this? But what you see frequently is Jesus is constantly in prayer, particularly before he's doing something active in his mission. He's constantly spending time in prayer. And often that's alone, praying to God, praying to the Father. And yet he is God. But if he's doing it, there must be some reason that's important to pray. I don't know about you. Do you have a regular prayer habit? Do you have a time of prayer? Or is prayer a bit reactive? Do you only pray when you kind of think you need it? There's no problems in praying when you need it. But it's also a good habit to pray frequently. And then also as we open up scriptures, we see that Jesus instructs us to pray. We have this call for all of us to spend time in prayer. And there are various ways to pray. There's not just one way to pray, but there's various ways to pray. But it's important that our prayers are grounded in the Christian faith. And I would say one of the prayers that should be part of our repertoire of prayers is this prayer, the Lord's Prayer. You see, today we hear that Jesus gives us this gift of prayer. And in this gift of prayer, what this prayer does, it reveals the character of God. It reveals who we're praying to, who God actually is. Not our preconceptions, but who God is. It then also shares with us where God desires our focus to be. And that our Christian life is also about community. And they're the three things I'm going to unpack a little bit further. The character of God, where God desires our focus to be, and that our Christian life is about community. It's not just an individual walk of faith. It is both an individual but also a community walk of faith. So the first thing when we start our prayer, a bit like Calvin spoke about, is this prayer that we address the Father. And this is quite significant, right? Jesus is talking to people. Some of them would have been used to addressing God as Yahweh or Lord, but addressing God as Father is this intimate relationship. And in fact, as we go through the scriptures, some of the words that used for God as Father is loving, is the attitude of a loving father. Now, some people have trouble with this because their relationship with their dad hasn't been that great. But can I encourage you, if that's the case, to think, well, my dad wasn't that great, but I do have a loving heavenly father, somebody who's perfect in love. And so what Jesus is doing here for the disciples and for us, he's saying, look, here's a gift for you to be able to speak to a loving heavenly father, someone who loves you dearly, who wants to listen to you. The second part is that Jesus gives us the Lord's Prayer. And some people think, oh, Jesus just made it up off the top of his head. But what Jesus is actually doing is drawing upon possibly some prayers from the Old Testament, but definitely things in the Old Testament where God calls us to be part of and who God reveals himself to be. Right. And the handout we have this week for the daily readings, which are different from our normal daily readings, are simply focused around this. Focused around each petition of the Lord's Prayer and where you'll find that reference in the Old Testament. Because what Jesus is doing is he's making it clear about who God is, and it's coming from this long tradition of faith. It's not just something Jesus kind of guessed up the top of his head or just kind of sprouted out. It's drawn on this who God is and what God calls us to be focused on. And so there's these two points that we should keep in mind. First of all, when we pray, we're praying to a loving Heavenly Father, and we're praying a prayer that is deeply entrenched in the faith. It's not just, this is not the only part you find this. Now, what I could have also done is gone and got the New Testament references where we see these things, references in the rest of the New Testament. But as a starting point, let's look at the Old Testament. And this week in your daily Bible readings, I encourage you just to reflect on those Old Testament readings. And so we begin the Lord's Prayer. The first part of the Lord's Prayer is really about this idea of, come on, let's love God. But who's this, when we live a life of loving God, who's this God we're loving? Well, it reveals three things about God's character. The Lord's Prayer reveals that God is our Father. It reveals that God is holy. And it reveals that God is a concerning, powerful King. How does that affect when you pray to God, when you think about those things? That God is a loving Father. He is holy, without sin, and he's a powerful King. How does it affect your picture of God, your relationship with God? And how does it affect how you represent God in the world? Do you present God to others as a loving Father? Do you present God as powerful, but a concerning, powerful King? And do you present him as holy? You know, sometimes it can be a challenge for some people to see God in those lights. But can I encourage you to, as you pray, that here we have this God who's not just a loving Father, because you can be a loving Father without having power, can't you? Right? And you can be somewhat powerful without being a loving Father. But we have God who's all three, Father, Holy, and a concerning, powerful King. And so that's the character that this Lord's Prayer reveals to us. But then we start talking about some other things that are more about us. The Lord's Prayer reveals where we need God's help and where God is definitely willing to help. Give us this day our daily bread. It's not just about God, open the bakery door up for us and give us some nice smelling fresh bread. In fact, my dietitian would say, can you stay away from that? But what this part of the prayer is about God, we have needs. Right? We have physical needs. We have needs to be able to live. God, give us what we need for life. And Luther's explanation goes on to a whole host of lists of heaps of things of what this is about. But it's broader than that. So when we're praying, as God, it's okay to ask for God for help with things. Sometimes Christians have said to me, I shouldn't ask for help. I should just be humble and live with what I've got. But we often need things to be able to live and do God's mission. And so can I encourage you to pray about those things? If you're thinking of, we would only be a better church if we had, can I encourage you to pray for that? Now, we might not need it from God's perspective, but at least you're handing that need over to God and let him answer that prayer. And then we come to the next section, which is this thing on forgiveness. Forgive us our sins. We pray this prayer regularly. You know, we have a time of confession in church, but in the Lord's Prayer, we pray this prayer of sin, asking God to forgive us our sins. And sometimes our sins are very obvious to us. Sometimes we can see where we have messed up. Sometimes we actually carry the guilt of our sins, or we carry a guilt thinking that our sins are so bad that God couldn't love us. And yet, the message of the Christian faith is that Jesus came into this world to suffer and die for each one of us, to pay the price for our sins, to take the debt that we owe off us. And that's been paid by Jesus. And so as we pray the Lord's Prayer, and this is one of the areas for me personally, that when I pray the Lord's Prayer is quite significant, because it's a reminder that I need God's forgiveness, not just once but daily. And Jesus has paid the price once, but I just need that frequently. And sometimes I don't recognise my sins, and I sometimes when I pray this part of the prayer, I ask God to reveal the sins. But it also helps lift that burden of, have my sins going to cause me eternal problems? And for Protestants, we then come to the next most difficult part of the Lord's Prayer. For we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And why I say that's difficult, because we live by grace, don't we? We live that we can't do anything for our sins to be forgiven. We've got to rely on Jesus. And yet in the Lord's Prayer it says this line. And there's been much written on this, much talked about, much discussion. Probably the most helpful for me is that this is a reminder that I need God's help to forgive people. I need God's help to forgive people, especially when they've deliberately hurt me badly. Especially when they've caused much pain. And especially when they don't recognise the hurt they've caused. And can I say, if you're in a situation where somebody's done any of that or any other things that you find difficult to forgive, don't see forgiveness as a quick part of faith. It's often, for Jesus it's quick, but for us it can often be over time. And if there's anyone who sinned against you at any stage and it's still bugging you, still pestering you, still affecting you, keep praying for God's help to deal with that, to be able to forgive them. And if it continues, can I encourage you to see a pastor or a Christian counsellor, and I say Christian counsellor, who has a focus on forgiveness, to help you through that. A trusted person. Nobody, I believe, should force you to forgive somebody where you're not ready, or at least say I forgive them and not feel it. But there's this journey towards forgiveness that comes from the help of God. And then the next section, I think we all need this regularly, sometimes obvious, sometimes not so obvious, is, and lead us not into temptation. Now this is not, this is not my prayer when I'm on a diet. Right, I'll share with you now, for the last 13 weeks and I've been on an eating plan diet, and it's been very helpful, and this has been part of the prayer, Lord, don't let me be tempted about food. But this is not really what it's about, although I did rely on it for this, for that part. But really this is about, Lord, help me not be tempted to turn away from you. Help me not be tempted to go and embrace the things in this world that lead me away from you. Help me not be tempted to just be focused on myself and to stop loving you first and to love others, stop loving others. So this prayer that we have, can you see how it helps us in mission? Asking for God to give us the things for life, asking for God to give us forgiveness, which is central to his message, asking for God to help us to forgive others and to help others know that they are forgiven. And asking God to deal with the temptation in our life. And so the next part of this prayer that's important, that doesn't come out in each petition, but it comes out in three petitions, is this prayer is not a personal prayer first of all. It's not a prayer for just you to pray by yourself, but it's a prayer for us as a church to pray. And it's a prayer for us to have this perspective that as a Christian, for me to be truly a Christian, I'm actually part of a community of faith. I'm part of a worldwide community of faith, and I'm part of a local community of faith. The Lord's Prayer reveals that Christianity is one lived in community with others. It's not just a personal matter. And this is one of the reasons we keep encouraging people to worship together regularly as a community of faith, and not just go and do our own things. It's one of the reasons that people, spiritual directors will encourage people to be part of a community of faith, because the Christian life is one lived with others. And not just live with others because it's good or it's nice, but live with others because we are the body of Christ who need each other and help each other. And three times it uses the plural us, forgive us, who sins against us and leaves us. And so the Lord's Prayer reminds us that we are not just on this individual, it's not just a me and God thing, it's a me with others and God. So what does all this mean for living our faith? What does this mean for us as we go about our life? Well, the first thing can I encourage you to do is to grow, to be a person who grows. Keep growing in what the Lord's Prayer means for your life as a disciple of Jesus. I've given you a little handout. I've given you two handouts this week. One is your Taking Faith Home sort of handout with the daily readings and the Keep Living the Faith section. But only then I've given you the Lord's Prayer. You might want to fold that up, put it in your purse or your wallet, or take a photo of it, put it on your phone, keep it somewhere. But can I encourage you each week, every day this week, to reflect on it and to think about what this prayer, how relevant this prayer is for your life as you go about. What are the things that stick out for your life that this Lord's Prayer helps you with? Keep growing what the Lord's Prayer means for you. If you haven't read, or if you haven't read for some time, Luther's explanation to the Lord's Prayer in the small and the large catechism, do that. Have a reflect on that. If you need a copy of that, please see me after church and we'll arrange a copy for that. But grow, continue growing in this prayer, because this prayer is, you know, it's prayed regularly wherever we go. Secondly, keep remembering the character of the God you're praying to. Not the character of the God that the world out there portrays or that some individuals try to portray, but the character that God reveals to us, that he's our loving Father, that he's holy, and he's a concerning, powerful King. That he's going to do what is good for us. So first of all, grow, and secondly, remember. Remember who God is. And thirdly, pray daily. Allow prayer to be part of your day. Our bishop has just come back from New Zealand and he spent some time with all the congregations in New Zealand. And one of the congregations said they've kind of flourished, and a person that's been helping them said, you shouldn't be flourishing. But he said, the reason you're flourishing is your congregation's adapted an attitude of, let's not be rushed at church. Let's not rush through things. Let's not rush through prayer. Let's not rush leaving. Let's not rush the worship. Let's not rush anything. And what's happening there, the people are coming there not to get through things, but to actually be part of community together and not rushing. And part of that's with prayer. Now, I would say sometimes, and because of my busyness, you know, I do my prayers, but I'm kind of rushing to get through, right? It's like a tick of the box thing. Pretty sure God hears them, but I don't think they're as beneficial as a time where I can spend time relaxing. Sometimes I need what Romans spoke about. I haven't got the words to say, but I just need to sit there in prayer and let God hear what's on my mind and heart, and even though I've got the words, to allow the Spirit to bring God that. So pray daily, and in particular when you pray daily, keep bringing before God in prayer the needs of the Christian community in mission, our church in mission. Not just our own personal needs, but our church in mission. Keep praying about our need for forgiveness and our need in helping others to forgive others. And keep praying for help in dealing with temptations. Because the truth is, we all face temptations. Temptations to do wrong, but also temptations to drift away from God and his Christian community, to drift away his purpose of mission. You see, God has given this wonderful gift to us that we can talk to him at any time and in any place and in any way. The Lord's Prayer is one of those gifts. It's not the only way to pray. But it's a helpful way for all of us to pray. So let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for this gift of being able to speak to you as our loving Heavenly Father. We pray for your Holy Spirit to help us in our busyness of life, to help us in the concerns that are before us, to be able to come before you in prayer and to pray and be focused on your mission as we pray. Lord, we thank you for the gift of prayer and the gift that you are a loving Heavenly Father. And we thank you that Jesus has given us this prayer to the disciples, and this prayer has been passed on throughout the church, throughout centuries. And gracious God, help us to be your people of prayer who are focused on your mission. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.